Hallelujah. Well, you know, my husband, Pastor Jeff, was not able to come here tonight. So if you're here for the first time tonight, I just encourage you, come back, you know. Come back and hear from him, because this is only half of the equation up here. My husband and I are a ministry team. We work together. The Lord uses us together, and we're so thankful for that. So I encourage you, if it's your first time here tonight, come back and hear my husband next week, and you'll be blessed. But tonight, I have a message from heaven. And you say, well, how do you know it's from heaven? Well, because it's out of the Word of God. And the Word of God is a message from heaven. This whole book here was written from God through the Holy Spirit, penned by man, for us to get our message from heaven. And so we're going to rightly divide the word tonight. We've been learning about how to do that here, and we're going to get into the word. And tonight, we're going to see what the word has to say about patience. And so this message is called Patience to Produce. Patience to Produce, okay? So we're going to start with Psalm chapter 86, Psalm 86. Let's go ahead and get in there. I encourage you, if you didn't bring your Bible, we do put the scriptures up on the screen, but I encourage you to bring your Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, we would be blessed to give you a Bible, to get you a Bible, because we know it's so important that we have our own Bible, and we know how to get into the Word for ourselves. So if you don't have one, don't be embarrassed or anything like that. It took me a long time to get my own Bible. I was raised as an atheist girl, and I never had a Bible in my household. So when I got saved and when I came to church, I didn't have a Bible. It took me a little while to get a Bible, and it took me a lot longer to understand how to read a Bible. But once I got taught, I learned how to read the Bible. And the biggest thing that I learned was to get one for myself and to get into it by myself. So that's just important for us as Christians to know what God is saying to us and to his body. Amen? So Psalm 86, verse 15, I love the word of God. It says, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. God is a God of patience. God is a God who is long-suffering. That word long-suffering, it's like patience magnified. And so it could just say patience, but God is so much more than patience. God has so much patience for mankind, for humanity. And we're going to see that here tonight. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:9. Oh, Lord, you are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. 2 Peter 3:9. Hallelujah. The word is good. It's where we get our help. It's where we get our answers. It's where we get our correction if we need it. Amen. I'm so glad that the word has corrected me over the years, has helped me get through things over the years. 2 Peter 3:9. I have all these post-its in my Bible. I always say that. If I've invested in post-its, I'd probably be a millionaire because I love post-its so much. If you ever look at my Bible, I probably have 150 hidden in here. And I mean it. So sometimes it's hard for me to maneuver through the pages. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is so patient with mankind. God put Adam in the garden. He created Adam and Eve in the garden. He set them up with everything they would ever need to walk out a blessed plan on this earth. He set them up with everything. But they fell, they disobeyed God, and they gave the keys over the authority in this earth over to the enemy. And God still, he's like, how do I get them back? How do I bring that plan back? How do I get them back into the place of blessing? How do I get mankind back to the place that I always wanted them to be? So what did he do? He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. When I was an atheist, when I was talking about that God isn't real, when I was using the Lord's name in vain, when I was out there sinning and sinning bad, all that time, God was still looking at me and he was saying, I love her. I want her to know me. I want her to be used. I want to use her. I want her to be a vessel for my kingdom. God saw all of that. God is not slack. He is long-suffering. He was watching that whole time. He knew everything I've ever done. He watched it the whole time. But at the same time, he still sent Jesus for me. He still sent Jesus. He still sent Jesus for you. Even despite anything you've ever done, anything you've ever said, anywhere you've ever been in life, God still sent Jesus for you. That's patience. He was like, they're coming. They'll come around. They'll come around. That's patience. Amen. God is our example of patience. You know, and when we're living, when we were out living opposite of God, he was still patient with us. Still patient. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Isn't that awesome? God's like, I don't care what you already did. I see you for who you are, who I made you to be. I just want you to walk out that plan, you know, that Jeremiah 29:11 plan. See the post-its? I got to move those. I can't read the scripture. 1 Timothy 1, praise the Lord, verse 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Timothy, of course, a pastor, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not the Apostle Paul who wrote the scripture. The Holy Spirit, we learned that a few weeks back, he penned all scripture, but he used man's hands to write it. So the Apostle Paul is writing this to Timothy, saying, he's saying, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Listen, accept this right here. Accept this as truth right here as you hear it. Listen to this. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul said, I know what it's like to be a sinner. I know what it's like to mess up. I am the king of messing up. I am the king of failing. I am the sinner of sinners, right? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Paul, the Apostle Paul is like, listen, if God was patient with me while I was out there murdering Christians, if God was waiting for me and he was patient for me so he could use me, then you're good. You're in the clear, brothers and sisters. Listen, if he used that, he used my king, my chiefness of the sinners, my chief of failure, who I was, he used that to show you, to show us all that, listen, if God can wait for the Apostle Paul, God can wait for all of us. And if God is willing to use the Apostle Paul, he's willing to use us. And so it's so precious to me that God was so, so faithful and so patient with us. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, the saying is sure and true and worthy of full and universal acceptance, that Christ Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But I obtained mercy for the reason that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might show forth and display all his perfect long-suffering and patience for an example to encourage those who would thereafter believe on him for the gaining of eternal life. He used the Apostle Paul as our example. Listen, we can't look at the life of the Apostle Paul and ever say that God can't use us. We can't do it. God used a murderer of Christians to pen more than half of the New Testament. Did you hear me? God used a murderer of Christians to pen more than half of this eternal word that will never fail, that will never become void. God used a murderer of Christians who was repentant and accepted him. It isn't about what we've done, folks. It isn't about where we've been. It's about what he wants to do through us. It's about our willingness to repent, to change our ways, and move on with him. It's amazing what God can do. He is long-suffering. He is patient. He is awesome. Amen? And you know, you have to remember this, okay? So God is our example of patience. And the Word of God says that the Word is like a mirror, right? We're not going to turn there, but it says in James 1:23, if you want to write down that reference, it says the Word of God is like a mirror. When we look at the Word of God, we should behold it as in a mirror, and we should see what we need to look like in this Word. And so when we see in this Word how patient, how long-suffering God the Father was towards us, then we need to learn how to be patient. We need to take that as our directive. We need to walk in long-suffering. We need to walk in patience. So we're going to look at that here tonight. I'll go ahead and turn to James. Isn't the Word awesome? I mean, I love that the Bible tells us everything we need to know to make it on this earth and to make it with a blessed life. A blessed life. That's what God has for us. James 1, 2. Hallelujah. God is so good. And we're going to read through verse 8 here. It says, my brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow Christians, right? It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He says, listen, it wouldn't say to count it as joy if it didn't need to be counted as joy. If it was just joy and it made us have a fuzzy feeling all the time to go through trial, then the word wouldn't have said to count it joy, to consider it, to make it out to be joy, to take it as joy, to give it, joy. It says to deem it joy, consider it joy. If it was easy, if it was fuzzy feeling on our flesh to go through trial, the word wouldn't have to tell us that we needed to deem it joy. And we're going to find out why in trial a true Christian who stands in faith of the word of God can be in joy even despite the trial. And we're going to see this here. But verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The testing of your faith produces patience. The trial, though it's not from God, it produces something in us. It strengthens us. It produces patience in us. And patience must be something good, right? Because we're supposed to have joy through the trial knowing that there's patience attached to it. That's an interesting thing. We need to understand why is patience so valuable. I was reading in the Strong's Concordance, and the word patience in the original language means cheerful and hopeful endurance. It means patience for continuing and waiting. Oh boy. Then I looked it up in just our regular dictionary. It says the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Oh my goodness. Now everybody, they can say, I've been patient, I've waited. Yeah, but were you waiting with a bad attitude? Oh yeah, right? I mean, I'm guilty of that. I'm waiting for my kids to come out to the car. And I'm like, I'm being so patient, but the whole time I'm rolling my eyes. I'm like, come on, I'm beeping the horn. That's not patience, because that's not waiting with a good attitude. And you all know, you've been there, right? How many times have you been there and you're like, well, I've been waiting, I've done my job waiting, but I haven't had a good attitude at the same time. There are some things we need to see in this. You know, we need to register here that the reason we need to count it joy is because it's producing patience. And if it's producing patience and the word tells us to be joyful over that fact, then we need to see that patience is very valuable to God. We saw that God is patient, but we're going to see why it is valuable. So I want you just to look up here, Isaiah 26:3. And we're not going to turn there because we're staying in James. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. So through the trial, we're called to have patience because patience, true patience, equals peace. If we are patient truly, as the word of God says, we'll be in peace. And so how do we stay in patience? We keep our mindset on him. See, if we keep our mindset on him during the trial, there's the peace. The peace and the patience go hand in hand. So when we're going through it, we trust him. We keep our mind stayed on him. And we'll have the capacity to be patient. The capacity to endure without losing our peace. That's real patience. The capacity to endure without losing our peace. Amen? Patience is very valuable. We're going to read verse 4 in James here, James 1:4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Oh my goodness. This word perfect means to be complete, lacking nothing, consummate meaning proficient or skilled in character, human integrity, and virtue. Patience will help us to be skillful in human character. It'll help us to be filled with integrity. Having patience will perfect those things in us. Virtue, the moral standard of God, it'll be perfected in us by patience. And so when we're going through the trial, like I said, the trial doesn't come from God, but through the trial, if we stay with our minds fixed on him, we'll be able to have peace and patience to endure. And as we have that patience, as we develop that patience in us, we develop that virtue. We develop our character. We develop our integrity. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's good stuff. And so, you know, next time you're tempted to get the bad attitude, you remember, it's perfecting something in me. Yeah. This waiting, this enduring with a good attitude is perfecting something in me. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, everything you've ever wanted in life is attached to patience. Let the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset make you proficient in character, integrity, and virtue so that you will be lacking nothing. Amen? So about a year and a half ago, my husband and I decided we were going to plant some birch trees. And then we were going to tap those birch trees 20 years from now, and we're going to make birch syrup, kind of like you make maple syrup out of them. So we drove down to Maryland. We bought a bunch of birch trees, and they were little babies, and they had to be planted in the ground, and they have not changed much in size over that year and a half. But at the same time, we bought another tree. It was called a Dawn Redwood tree. And this tree has like doubled in size over the last year. And so we look at that tree and I'm tempted to say, why can't those birch trees grow that fast? I want those birch trees to double in size. But the reality is there's something precious being created in that birch tree. We planted them because we wanted what was inside of them. We wanted to be able to tap them like a maple tree and get that birch sap out of there so we could make birch syrup and have that flavor, right? And so if we would go to look at those trees and say, those aren't growing, they look almost the same as a year and a half ago. But this Dawn Redwood, man, that's doubling in size. And we were to say, let's get rid of these birch trees. They're not producing anything. Then in 20 years from now, when they would be producing something, we would have gotten rid of them too soon. And a lot of Christians do that. They give up before they actually have the ability to produce any fruit or good things in their life. They get impatient with God. They get impatient with doing good, right? Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Well, when do you do good? Throughout all the trial, throughout all the temptations of life, you trust in God and you do good, right? If we were to cut down those birch trees, we're never going to have that birch syrup. Never going to have it. But if we leave them and we let them grow, whether we live there or somebody else lives there, somebody can have that birch syrup out of those. The trees will produce fruit. They've got to be in the nourishing ground. They've got to be there planted, and they will be able to produce fruit. But patience is what produces fruit. Amen? Patience. You know, many Christians are wanting what they want when they want it. And they're not operating in the will of God. Because if you're not operating in patience, you are out of the will of God. I will say that again. If you are not operating in patience, you are out of the will of God. You can't be in the will of God for your life if you're not being patient. And you know, we see this in the church. We've had people who have come or they've called one of our churches and they've said, I'm gifted in music, so I want to come and be on your worship team. And we've said, but we don't know you, right? We don't know you. And we have high standards around here. If you're in a position of leadership, you got to live by integrity. We need everybody to be able to see you as an example that they can aspire to, you know, not man worship, but an example. It's kind of like if you have a school teacher who's high on drugs, they shouldn't be a school teacher because they shouldn't be the example. Amen? And if you're on worship team, you should be living in integrity because you're the example. Amen? And so people have come and they've said, well, I want to do this. And we've said, well, come get faithful. Start showing up to church. Start being faithful to church. Serve on the cleaning team. Serve, you know, in the parking lot. Serve as an usher. Work your way up. Build faithfulness. Show us that you're faithful. Show God that you're faithful. Show God that you're willing to do the least before he uses you and promotes you. But people don't want to have patience, amen? And so what happens a lot of those times, they come in, they say, I want to do this. And you say, well, you've got to prove, you know, over time that you're going to be faithful. And they say, no, I don't want to prove it. I want it now. People want what they want when they want it. But God wants things in his perfect timing. God promotes in his time, in his season, amen? We can't be impatient. Can't make God move faster than he wants to move. God will move, but there are things that are being perfected in us in the wait time. There are things, it's just like a plant in the ground, a seed in the ground. As it's in the ground, you plant that seed through being planted there, through the water, through the sunlight, through all the good stuff and the nourishment that goes into that seed, it starts to produce. Amen? But it only produces as it's planted there and as it's waiting. No seed ever grew without waiting. Amen? Anybody who's ever planted anything knows that it doesn't grow overnight. It doesn't grow without waiting time. You know, I'm just, tonight there's some things that were on my heart to share with you. You know, my husband and I, we knew that we were called to the ministry 4 years before we ever pastored. You know, in 2010, the Lord dealt with my heart that I was called, that I was called to be a minister, and my husband at the same time, he was being dealt with in his heart separately. When we talked to each other, we knew that the Lord was dealing with both of us. We talked to our pastor, and that was confirmed 4 years before we ever pastored. 2 years before we ever pastored, the Lord spoke to my husband's heart and told us where we were going to pastor. And it was 2 more years before we ever went out and actually pastored. And so the interesting thing is, in our mind, we're like, well, let's just do it. God has us for this for us to do. Let's go do it right now, right? But there was things being perfected in us, things being worked into us, things being worked out of us that got us ready for that. And it's the same thing with anything in your life. God is perfecting things in you. If you say, I've been waiting for this spouse, he's perfecting things in you. I've been waiting for that job, he's been perfecting things in you. I've been waiting for that new house, he's perfecting things in you. In the patience time, in the waiting time. And listen, you'll get there faster with a better attitude. You'll get there faster when you endure with joy. That's why the word tells us you endure with joy. Amen? And so, you know, we need to endeavor to get into the place of patience. We're still in the book of James here. And I want to keep reading. Verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God, I need your help. I need your help, Lord. How do I get into patience? Help me to see the scriptures that will help encourage me and feed me on the ability to stay in joy, on the ability to be patient. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Be willing to get into the scripture. Be willing to receive from the word of God. Be willing to receive from your pastor. You know, the Bible says that he gave gifts unto mankind, right? We saw that men and women, he gave the ministry offices unto mankind. Why? So that ministers could equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to go out there and live victoriously, to be the example of victorious, godly living, godly provision, godly abundance, godly blessing, right? And so he's given you people, myself, my husband, your pastors, if you're not from this church, whoever your pastor might be, he's given you people that will feed you, to help you, to give you that wisdom from the word of God. And so the word of God is where we get our wisdom. And he says, if you need help with that, then you ask. I love this too. That word wisdom, it means skill in the management of your affairs in this life. The knowledge and practice of skills required for godly and upright living. Ask God. Ask God. Show me in your word, Lord. Show me in your word how to get through this trial. Show me, I need your wisdom on this. Show me in your word how I'm going to make it to the next step. Show me in your word. Help me with this. He's given us that for wisdom. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If we're not in patience, we're not in faith. And if we're not in faith, we're not pleasing God. Yes. We need to ask in faith without doubting. We need to stay in faith in patience. When we're waiting for something, we're believing for something, the key component, other than faith, is patience. Patience, patience, patience. You can't have one without the other. Hallelujah. I can't even speak right now. Galatians 5. Let's turn there. I love the word. Are we seeing the importance of patience here? It's important. We need to know. We need to get into this part of our life. We need to. Because you know what? The world is really okay with people being impatient. We're kind of just used to impatience. We're kind of just used to people going out and making it happen. You know, a lot of people, it's like, if I want it right now, and I'm going to go make it happen at all costs. Well, that's not the way of God. The way of God is being patient. You know, there were things my husband and I knew that we were called to move. Years ago, when we knew we were called to pastor and knew where we were called to pastor, we knew we were called to move there. And naturally speaking, nothing lined up. You know, the finances weren't there. It wasn't gonna work, naturally speaking. So what did we have to do? We had to be patient. We had to wait for God's time. We had to do our part. We continued to be a good steward of what we had. We continued to be faithful where we were at. And we just continued to wait on God and wait on God. And he, in his timing, moved us into a new home with all of it provided for. We could have gone out, we could have made it happen, we could have gone out and we could have spent the money and made it happen and gotten the loan. I know people at the banks, they would have given me a loan, right? I could have done that, But it would have been over my head. It would have been too much for me to handle. God knows that. See, if we follow him, he'll help walk it out in a way that will bless us. Amen? It takes patience. We're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit here. Galatians 5:22. When we're following God, we're going to see what fruits of the Spirit we should have. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, remember patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice attached to patience is crucifying the flesh. Impatience is all about your flesh. All about your flesh. People who won't wait to and stay pure until marriage, that's about your flesh. And listen, if you've been there, I'm not condemning you. But what I'm saying is Christians who know to wait and keep their bodies pure, right? We know where we're going with this, and they don't wait, it's because they're not crucifying their flesh, right? If you don't want to do what the word says with your finances, it's about your flesh. You're worried in your flesh. You wonder how your flesh is going to be taken care of. Amen? It's all about the flesh. If you want to skip church to go to that summer picnic, that's about the flesh. It's about the flesh. Amen? And so patience is all about crucifying the flesh. And so the more we are in the Spirit, the more we're in the Word of God, the easier it becomes to crucify our flesh, to put it under. Because the fruits of the Spirit are all opposite to those things that the flesh wants. The flesh doesn't want you to have self-control. Somebody makes you mad, the flesh wants you to punch them. Yep. Right? The flesh wants you to tell them off. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, the flesh wants you to ram into their bumper, right? You know in your heart it's not okay, right? You don't want to actually do it, and your mind gets, you can get your mind back under control, but your flesh wants that. Your flesh is very animal-like. You know, an animal wants something, they will take it right from your hand. You take something from an animal, they will bite you, right? They're all about their flesh. Well, people shouldn't be about their flesh, amen? Christians shouldn't be about their flesh. Yep, impatience is all about the flesh. If you're impatient, it's because your flesh is in control of you. And if your flesh is in control of you, it's because you haven't crucified your flesh by living according to the Spirit. That's again, Lord, help me. Show me in your word what I need to do to live right. Show me in your word what I need to do to change. Crucify the flesh. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 8. I love the word. The word is good. Luke chapter 8. So in the Gospels, we see the parable of the sower. We see the parable of the four kinds of ground. And we're going to kind of touch on that here tonight. I'm not going to read it all here, but we're going to start in verse 11 here. So Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is likened to a seed. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So that seed never really got into anybody, right? Or the people never took that in. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. Impatient. Impatient. They hear the word, they even believe the word, it even starts to take root in them. But when the trial comes, they fall away. They're tempted by their flesh. Temptation is of our flesh and of our mind. And really, our mind is a part of our human flesh. You know, it's our spirit on the inside of us that is the true us. And we are a spirit. And I'll be teaching on this at some point here. But we are a spirit, and we have a mind, and we think, and we have emotions, and we live in a body. Our flesh and our body are not, or our mind and our body are not who we truly are. It's the spirit on the inside of us. And so whatever you feed the most will be the biggest in your life. And so here, these ones, they had temptation. In a time of temptation, they fall away. That means they were impatient. They were hearing how to do right by God. They were hearing what to do in their life, how to get these things in order, how to get their finances in order, how to get their relationships in order, how to get their children in order, how to get their mind in order, how to get the job, you know, their job in order and their home in order, how to get all these things the way that, you know, walk that blessed path that God had. But there was temptation. What is the temptation? Oh, I don't know. A sickness comes against your body, or all of a sudden somebody at work starts treating you badly, or all of a sudden they fire you or cut your hours, or all of a sudden your mortgage doubles, or you have an unexpected expense at your house. All these things try to come in and they try to make you impatient. I don't want to wait on God to provide. I don't want to wait on God to walk into that next step. I want to just have it now. I want what I want when I want it. It's like Burger King, have it your way, whatever you want. You want a tomato? We'll give you a tomato. Well, with God, it's like, you want what I have? Because I'll give you what I have. If you want what you want, then you get what you want. Yeah. But what I want for you is way bigger than what you want for you. And we tell our kids this all the time. What we want for you, you can't even imagine. You know, our son, he's growing up here, you know, and he's getting to the point where he's about to move out on his own. And we say to him, you have no idea how much we want for you. We want more for you than you could even imagine for yourself as your parents. We want more for you. See, when you're older and you have kids and they get to that age, then you start to get it. But until then, you don't get it yet, you know, and you can't always get it. And we, the same way, can't always get how God wants for us. God wants more for us than we could imagine. He says, just be patient. Be a patient doer of the word. Faith and patience. Just be a patient doer of the word, and you'll walk in that. Don't get beyond God. Don't let the trial or the temptation make you impatient and fall away. Verse 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. The other ones here, this third type of ground, the third type of Christian, they're the ones who they are tempted by their flesh, the pleasures of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, these things that I could have if I only got it myself. I could have this. If I wait for God, I don't know when I'm going to get it. I could go out and make it happen right now for me. But if I wait on God, you know, and so what does it say? It says they bring no fruit to maturity. No fruit to maturity. That's crazy. See, they hear the word, they're out, they're distracted, they want the pleasures of life. And as a result, they bring no fruit to maturity because there was no patience. Remember, patience is what produces fruit. But this is where we want to be. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. You hear the word of God. The word of God teaches you that maybe you ought to start being nice to those neighbors. Maybe you ought to start being nice to those colleagues. Maybe you ought to stop letting them get at you. Maybe even though your boss is mean to you, you should be honorable to him. But I don't want to. I want to be mean right back, right? You hear that. You go out. You try to put it into practice. You know, maybe you want a new car. You're believing for a new car, but you don't have the money yet for that car. Are you going to wait for God to bless you? Are you going to wait for God to lead you in His right timing? Are you going to go make it happen and get about above God, ahead of God? We don't want to be ahead of God. We want to be patient and in His plan. Amen? So we want to wait patiently. They keep it and bear fruit with patience. Wait time creates fruit. Patience creates fruit. We see impatience in all kinds of things. You know, we teach tithing around here. When my husband and I first started going to church and we first started hearing the word of God about tithing, we were poor. We couldn't even buy groceries. We didn't even have heat in our apartment. We didn't have a stove to cook on. We were poor. We didn't have anything. And the Lord gave, taught us the word of God about tithing, which is 10% of your income. When you have nothing, 10% seems crazy. And I was like, well, you know what? I believed God for salvation into heaven. I believed God that He really sent Jesus. I believed God for that. Maybe I ought to trust God in this. And so I started tithing. It was like a dollar to begin with. Then it was like $5. And I was like, oh, man, how are we going to get milk for our kids? How are we going to pay, But we started just being faithful over time. And now God has restored that. We have food. We never run out. I actually feel bad. We throw groceries away half the time because nobody ate the leftovers. I don't want to do that. I remember when we couldn't do that. And I want to be a good steward of what we have. But what I'm saying is there's always abundance, and we're provided for as we're faithful to His word. But the Bible says, try me in this. And so many people will try. But when that bill comes that they can't pay, then they're tempted and they disobey God. And so instead of being patient, they walk out of the will of God, they get impatient, and then they're there going, God, you said you'd supply for me. I tried you. I did your word for a few weeks. I did your word most weeks. But if we're not patient, we're not going to produce fruit. And so as we step out of the will of God and we get into disobedience, it's like we dug up that seed every single time. And that seed can't produce fruit because it's been dug up. People will try God all the time. Patience is continual forbearance. Patience doesn't quit. Yeah, we'll try God until it gets hard on our flesh. No, we don't try God until it gets hard on our flesh. We try doing the word of God until Jesus comes back. Amen? Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." There's sorrow attached to leaving the place that God has for you. There's sorrow attached to disobeying God. But when you're in God's will, when you're in God's plan, there's blessing attached to that, and there's no sorrow with that. And everything we need in life is provided for. I'm not just talking about stuff. Stuff is included. A good parent takes care of their kids. They make sure they're clothed. They make sure they're fed. They make sure they have a good, clean roof over their head. A good parent takes care of their kids. That's included in it. But it's not all the blessing of God. It's not all the provision of God. The provision of God is also peace. The provision of God is also the ability to conquer that storm, the ability to get beyond. That's the blessing of God as well. That's the riches of God as well. You know, people cross borders and move long distances all the time chasing a job. They believe God. They sit in church. They believe God for a new job, a good job that'll pay their bills. They get that job, and then they move for it. Or they think it's the job that God sent them, but it takes them out of church. That's not the blessing of God. We don't try God. We don't abandon God when we get what we want. Amen? You know, when I told you, I have some personal testimony that was on my heart today to share with you. You know, when I was a freshman in high school, I knew I wanted to be an art teacher. Remember, I was an atheist. I didn't know that I was going to be a teacher for the Lord. But I wanted to be an art teacher. I loved art, and I knew there was, like, teaching. I started teaching my dolls when I was, like, I mean, old enough to talk. We've got a little 17-month-old that runs around here playing in the nursery. I was, like, that little, and I was, like, holding books and talking baby talk and trying to teach my dolls. I mean, seriously, my whole life I was teaching things. But I knew I wanted to be an art teacher as a freshman in high school. And so I gave everything I had to that. I took every art class I could possibly take. I went into school right away after high school. I went into college for fine arts. I did everything I could to do that. I kept straight A's. I graduated summa cum laude with the highest honors. I worked in every job you could possibly work in that involved kids. I mean, everything I could possibly do, naturally speaking. I gave it my all. And when I graduated college, there was no job waiting for me. They promise you that, or they tell you, oh yeah, you know, you do well, you're going to have a job. I was the highest in my class, you know, one of the highest in my class. And there was still no job waiting for me. And so many years went by where I was a substitute teacher. I had maternity leave positions that I filled and things like that. But I never got that full, you know, tenure track position, so to speak. And so we were going without. I mean, I was paying student loans. I was living paycheck to paycheck, didn't know what we were going to do. And it was after Ezra was born that I didn't know what I was going to do. I needed a job. I needed money. We had three kids. We needed, you know, I needed this to work out. I gave it my all. Why wasn't it working? And I get a phone call just out of the blue, and it's an old colleague of mine that says, there's a job we have for you. We want to offer you this position. I always wanted to be a middle school art teacher, and they called me up, and they offered me a middle school art teaching position. And I was like, in my heart, I was like, I can't take this. But in my mind, I was like, yes, you got to take this. You can't not take this. And I said to my husband, they just called me and offered me this job. I didn't even apply, and they offered me this job. And he said, oh, yay, this is awesome. And I was like, but I can't take it. And he's like, what? You really? Really? I was like, I just know that I can't take it. I don't know why. I just know that it's not for me. I needed provision. I knew that I needed provision. But in my heart, I knew this wasn't of God. So I knew, just be patient, just wait on God. And I said, I'm sorry, I have to say no. And they were like, really? Are you sure? You've been waiting a long time. And so I said no. and the devil tried to beat my mind up. Oh my gosh, you just turned down the only job you're ever going to get offered. You needed that job. That's the job you've been waiting for. What's wrong with you? You're just in your head. You're just, you don't even know how to hear from God. All those thoughts came to me. You don't know what you're doing. You turned down a job. Your kids aren't going to eat today. Seriously, those are the thoughts. And it was only a few months later that my neighbor, Mrs. Rhodes, she says, "Hey, Renee, you got a job yet?" "No." "Turned down one." Didn't say that. I said, no, I haven't heard of anything, yet. And she said, "Well, so-and-so needs a maternity leave covered, art teacher." And I said, "Oh, really? Wow, okay." And she said, "Here's her number. Why don't you call her?" So I called her up and I said, "Hey, I heard you are going on maternity leave and you might need somebody to cover your class for a year." And she said, "Oh yeah, absolutely. And here's the application. I'll email it to you," and blah, blah, blah. So I send it in, and it was only a matter of days. They called me up. They said, "Come in for an interview." So I came in for an interview. I thought, I'm going to get this maternity position. And I show up, and they make me meet in the middle school. The maternity position was for the elementary school. I was like, this is weird, but whatever. So I meet in the middle school. And I'm sitting there, and they're talking to me about all this stuff, the classes I would teach. And I was like, I thought this was elementary school. But then I leave, and the very next day they call me up, and they say, "We'd like to have you meet with the superintendent." The very next day, so I meet with the superintendent, and he starts walking me around the school and showing me my classroom. Then he shows me the lake views, and he's taking me around, and he's, "So this will be your room." And I said, "I thought this was a maternity position for the elementary school." "Oh no, you'll be the middle school art teacher full time." "But patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete," right? Lacking nothing. See, I could have gotten that job. I could have jumped on that job when I knew in my heart it was wrong for me. People do this all the time with relationships. People do this all the time with houses. People do this all the time with all kinds of things, with vehicles, with all kinds of things. We wait on God for the right one, and we follow peace, right? So patience had its perfect work. I just finished 10 years teaching at that school yesterday. 10 years I've been there teaching, hallelujah. And, I have great favor in that school. I'm highly respected and have a great rapport with the students and the administration, and there's a lot of favor there. There's the blessing of the Lord attached to that place. And see, I could have walked out of the will of God. It seems right in the natural. I could have been impatient, but patience had its perfect work. Amen? See, that's the difference. That's the difference. We can prolong our blessing by being impatient. I don't know what would have happened at that school. I don't know. Maybe they would have cut positions a year later. I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. All I know is it wasn't the job for me, and God worked it out in His timing. Amen. See, that's an example of testimony. I was living for God. I was trying my best to follow Him. And I decided that the peace in my heart was more important than the money in my wallet. Amen? It's important. People get impatient all the time. We see people, in the wilderness, the Israelites got impatient. They didn't want to wait on God. They wanted things their way when they wanted them. They didn't want things God's way. And we know that they went without the blessing of God. They didn't get what they had, what God had for them. They were bad ground. And they lost faith, and they lost steam, and they were tempted by the trial. They trusted in the trial, and they didn't trust in God. And so they never walked in what He had for them. Impatience will cause us to walk out of the blessing of God. We will not get the things we've been desiring if we don't wait for them patiently. It just won't happen. People get impatient all the time when it comes to waiting for a spouse. We've seen people in the church, they've come in, and they've been believing for a godly husband or a godly wife. And a year goes by, 2 years go by. I want it now. I want what I want when I want it. And so then somebody off the street comes in. I'm not saying that you won't meet somebody on the street. However, the Bible does say not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, because you will have trouble in that case. If you don't believe the same thing, it's going to make things more difficult. Anybody who's been there knows exactly what I mean. But anyway, so they'll just pick somebody who shows some interest in them and gives them a little bit of attention, and before you know it, they're not even serving God anymore, because they're the flesh and the temptation of the flesh to not be lonely or to have that pleasure of life was too important for them, so they walk away from the plan of God. Yeah. Impatience will destroy the path that God has for you. Impatience will get you off somewhere, and you're not going to know where you are anymore. Be patient in the plan. Be patient and have peace in the plan. Galatians 5:24, remember, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If he's not serving God faithfully, stop wishing that he would. He's not the spouse for you. Stop focusing on him. Let God bring the right one to pass. Amen? You know, we've also known people who have found their future spouse, and they've known it's the one God has for them. But instead of waiting for the right timing, they've said, okay, now I found them, so now I'm going to appease my flesh now, right. Early, prematurely. We can't appease the flesh prematurely either. Wait for God's timing. Amen? If there's no patience, there's no perfecting. And remember, perfecting equals complete, brought to its end. It brings us to human integrity and value. It's of full age. It's full maturity. It's that seed that was allowed to grow to its full potential. That's what patience brings you. Patience brings you to a place where your character is actually usable by God. Wow. Yes. If you want to be used by God, you got to get in patience. Not impatient, but in patience. You've got to be in a place of patience if you want to be used by God. This is what the Lord spoke to my heart. Patience brings you to a place where your character is actually usable by God. Everybody says, use me, God. Let me serve you. Use me. But they won't be patient and wait for his timing. Do you know that the first 6 or 7 years that I was going to family church, I cleaned, I did nursery, I did whatever it took, whatever they needed, I would do it. Nobody ever thought I was going to be a pastor. In fact, when it was announced that my husband and I were going to go out and pastor and start a church, there was an audible, in the congregation. Nobody saw us that way. We weren't trying to make something happen. We were just there serving. We were vacuuming the floors and cleaning the toilets and running the children's classes and the Sunday school and the nursery or making the flyers or mowing the lawn or whatever it was. That's where we were. That's what we were doing. And we were just being patient, waiting for God to use us as he saw fit. And so as time went on and we proved our faithfulness in the little, he blessed us and took us into a place where we can speak into people's lives. And I'm honored by that. But I am so thankful that patience had its perfect work first. I am not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you what, I'm more perfect now than I was back then. And God's continually perfecting me as I'm patient and allow him to work things into me. And he's doing the same with you. All right, Colossians 1:9. Hallelujah, God is good. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Partaking, being fruitful, he has, God, for his people, this is his will for us, that you would be fruitful, that you would produce. And you say, well, what am I going to produce? Everything that God has for you. You know, my voice here tonight, maybe this is a room of 20 people or whatever. Okay, great. But what about when there's 200 people that come in here and they need to hear the word? Yeah, we'll need a bigger sanctuary, and it'll come. It'll come, because there will be. What if I didn't obey God? What if I didn't obey God, and what if I wasn't patient, and what if I wanted to make things happen on my own? And what if I didn't want to wait for the finances all those years? And what if I didn't want to wait for the plan to come to fruition all those years? Then I wouldn't be here speaking into your lives, and I'm not saying that because I'm great. I'm saying that because the word is great, and the word will be you, or God will use whoever will deliver his word. And I'm telling you, I love the Lord, and I spend time in his presence, and I spend time today. I was before the Lord, and I was in tears. Lord, I just want to do right by you. I want to help your people. Like, I can't do it by myself. I don't have it in me alone. You want to use me. I want to be used by you, Lord. Not for me, but for your people. I want to help your people.
Yes.
So you got to put it in me, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you put it in me. And I honor you, Lord. And I respect the fact. And I look at you with reverence that you would use me, that you would use this little atheist girl that talked like you weren't real all those years, that you would let me come in and be usable. It means something to God that we walk in what he has for us. It means something to him. And it means something to me. It means something to me. Your life's changed and walking out the blessed plan that God has for you, it means something to me. I may not even know you. I may never have known you until a couple months ago. But it means something to me. It's my whole life. It's what matters most to me and my husband. And it's what matters most to God. You see, but we have to be patient to walk out the things God has for us to walk out. He may have for you to reach hundreds of people someday, thousands of people someday. He may have you to bring people to salvation. He does. He does have people for you to reach. Who knows who they are? You may not even know who they are. But he has people for you to reach. He has things for you to do. But if you're not patient in the plan, if you're not in peace and in joy in the plan, then you're never going to walk those things out. And patience takes us out of the will of God. And patience gets us out of beyond God where we're not even going to be able to produce fruit. Patience produces fruit. Fruit can only be produced in patience. Hallelujah. I'm going to pull up Colossians 1:11 in the Amplified. We're getting somewhere, and we're not too far from the end here. Colossians 1:11, it says, "We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy." We want you to be in joy. God looks down and he's like, I want you to just smile. When your kids are sad, don't you, like if you've had kids or your spouse or somebody you love is sad, don't you like, I just, come on, let's be happy. Life is so good. Walking out the plan of God is so good. Whether it hurts our flesh, whether it messes with our mind, whether we walk through a lot of rainstorms or not, it's good serving God. The devil and other people will tell you it's not good serving God, but it's good serving God. And just like we get on a treadmill at the gym, some of us, okay, the arc trainer and the elliptical over the treadmill. But just like we get on that and we run because it's strengthening us, we run for God because it's strengthening us. If we run for God, and sometimes it is running, and sometimes it's running fast, but we run for God so that we can endure. We can have that patience with joy, and we can walk out the plan he has for us. Hebrews 6. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6. The word is good. Patience, patience, patience. Wait on God. Wait for his timing. Look at his plan. Follow his plan. What does he have for you? Sorry, all these post-its again. That is the teacher in me. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name. God watches all those things you're doing for him. He knows. He knows the running around you're doing. He knows the time spent in prayer. He knows the time spent in the word. He knows when you came and vacuumed those carpets. He knows when you were out doing that landscaping. He knows it. He knows when you're sitting in the back serving on the computer. He knows it. He's watching it. He sees it all. He knows it. He knows, and he's watching when you go out to your colleagues and you witness to them. He knows it. He knows those times where you're talking to him, when you're awake in the night and you're praying for people. He knows it. Hallelujah. What scripture was I at? 11. And we desire that each one of you, where was I? Can you tell me? Oh, yeah. Yep. I read verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Patience, long-suffering, the same diligence. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He's not blind to all that you're doing. That is right by him. He's not blind to that. He is blessing you for it. He's blessing you now, but he's blessing you in the future. You just wait. You just stay patient for what he's going to do in your life. He's already started. I want to read this in the Amplified. But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness. Wait, where am I? No, I'm reading 1 Timothy 6:11 I'm going to now. See, I'm in like the same. That's why it was confusing me. I've got 6:10 and 6:11 back to back here. Go ahead and look on the screen in the Amplified. 1 Timothy 6:11. But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God and true goodness. Godliness, which is in the loving fear of God and being Christ-like. Godliness is not a fear like I'm afraid of God, but that fear of like I don't want to hurt my Heavenly Father. I don't want to betray his trust. I don't want to go against and spit on all the things he's done for me in my life, right? It's that kind of fear, like reverential. I really honor you, God, and I want you to know my life honors you. Godliness. Faith, love, steadfastness, which means patience, and gentleness of heart. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses. Stay patient. Strive for godliness, right? And fight the good fight of faith. Remember, faith and patience are how we inherit the promises of God. Faith pleases God, but you can't be in faith if you're not in patience. You've got to be patient to be in faith. Amen? And I want to end with this scripture, Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Hallelujah. The word is good. Amen? The word helps us. It strengthens us. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you're hearing this tonight, it's working things in you. It's working things in you. But without faith, it is impossible to please. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. You look at it in your Bible. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Diligence is persistence. Persistence is patience. You can't be diligent if you're not patient. Yeah. And you can't seek God diligently and please God and have him reward you if you're not a patient person. So you say, okay, well, I know it's good to be patient, but listen, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to be tempted not to be patient. You're going to be tempted not to be patient in your home. You might be tempted on your way home not to be patient. And I'm not just talking about superficial patience, like treat people right even when they make you mad. That's included. But I'm talking about being patient with God. Don't go blaming God and getting mad at God because it hasn't come to pass yet. You believe and be patient in the fact that it's coming to pass as I seek him first. All those things are added, amen? Amen? Don't get mad at God. Don't have a bad attitude with God because it hasn't come to pass yet. Yeah. You be patient and let God work it out. Yeah. He will work it out. I am living proof that he works it out. Yeah. My husband is living proof that he works it out. Yeah. The Apostle Paul is living proof that he works it out. As you seek him, as you're patient and diligent, he will work it out. All those things that you're believing for will come to pass. Trust him. Be patient. It's all coming to pass. It may not be next week. It may not be next year. It may not be 5 years from now. But all those things, all those desires of your heart, they will come to pass in the right time as we stay on the plan and stay in patience. Amen? Praise the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But it's impossible to be in faith without patience. Faith waits on God. Faith waits on God's plan. Faith waits on God's timing. It's staying in joy despite the trial. It's staying in faith despite the wait. Amen? We're going to be patient people as we leave here. We're strengthened by the word of God. We're able to endure by the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you've perfected us here tonight, that you've worked some things into us. You've worked some things out of us by your word, by your truth. And we worship you, Lord, and thank you for that, Lord. We praise you, Father. You are so good to us. Oh, Father, I love your word. I love how it strengthens your people. Thank you, Lord. And I just always want to give an opportunity. We never want to leave a service without inviting anybody who has never made Jesus the Lord of their life to do just that. So if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you'd like to do that here tonight, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you up front. Just go ahead right there in your seat and raise your hand if that's you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. I'm going to give another opportunity here tonight. If there's anybody here by the sound of my voice that, yeah, you've accepted Jesus, you made Christ your personal Lord and Savior, but you've walked away, you haven't been living for Him, and you know you need to get back to that place where you put Him first and where you live your life for Him. And if that's you and you want to rededicate your life to Christ here tonight, you want to rededicate and decide that today's the day I'm going to live for Him, go ahead and raise your hand. I thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're just going to pray a prayer here together. And everybody, we're going to pray it together by the sound of my voice. You know, the Lord is good. And He forgives us and He accepts us just like that. It says that salvation is right there on our lips. Deliverance is right there on our lips. As we repent, as we make things right with God, He is right there to help us every step of the way. So everybody, whether you raised your hand or not, go ahead and pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I invite you in. I want to live for you. I want to serve you and do my best to follow your plan for my life all the days of my life. Lord Jesus, wash me. Cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. I worship you, and I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, that's all it takes. We make it right in our heart. We come to God, and He is right there to meet us. Amen. Well, I thank you for listening here tonight. I encourage you to be strengthened and take that word that you received and stand on it. Amen.